Welcome to Steve Dale's Other World. And today we take you to Mexico. Hola, Senorita Janice Gonzalez, who works with the SPCA Puerto Vallarta. I will tell you, Janice, when I first saw this place, I had heard a little about it, but when I first saw the place, then met the people involved, particularly its founder, don't mean to confuse people, but another Janice, her name Janice Chatterton, I was just blown away thinking, you know, I wish we did some more of these things in the United States. It's quite amazing. So thank you for spending time with us. Tell me what the SPCA Puerto Vallarta is.
Well, it's a no-kill sanctuary that we've started. There's been a history of a lot of stray dogs and a lot of abuse. I'm sure everybody's heard stories of that going on in Mexico. And there's been a number of organizations here in town that either shelter the dogs or spay-neuter clinics, but there was really no organization in town whose really impetus was to get the dogs adopted in for forever homes. So we set up a no-kill sanctuary outside of Puerto Vallarta. It's a little bit on the outskirts of town, so there's room for the dogs to really roam around. And we established the sanctuary actually in 2012, but the organization itself started in 2007. So we've been we make it our point to go out and rescue the dogs in the most dire need. So they've either been abused, or they're left, you know, pregnant on the street, or they've been hit by cars, or they're just malnourished, or all really the dire circumstances. And those are the kind of dogs that we try to rescue and bring into the sanctuary, get them into a state where they can be adopted, and then we spend a lot of our energies trying to get the dogs out of Mexico and into happy homes in the United States and Canada.
You know, one thing that you can do listening to a podcast is hit the pause button. And I may want people to do that to grab some tissue, because some of these stories are really tear-worthy. I mean, they're quite amazing. For example, there was one dog named Holly. And I hope I'm not catching you off the cuff here, because there's so many dogs who have come through that I met. And when I met Holly, she was kind of like halfway. And you know what? You have these pictures, these before and after pictures. So these dogs that are really on death's door, that you say, you know what? If we can find the resources to do this, and we will, and you do, we will bring this dog into good health and adopt the dog into a family. So do you remember Holly's story?
Oh, absolutely. There's no way you can forget Holly.
I know.
It makes
okay.
me cry.
Yeah.
It makes me cry. She was one of the very bad dogs that we rescued. And what's sad is, you know, there's dog fights everywhere, and we have them down here. And Holly happened to have been a pit bull. And when we rescued her, she was, well, let's see, pretty much dying. She had been tied up by her hindquarters so badly that she had this, I don't know how many, you know, how many centimeter deep wound where she was tied by her for just breeding purposes.
So I want to explain that. I mean, imagine, and I don't want to be too graphic here, but if you have the rope tied on you and you're literally at the end of your rope, quite literally, and the rope was embedded into Holly's skin. And not only was the rope cut out, then there's an infection. I mean, just incredible, but that's not all of it, is it?
No, and it wasn't really rope, it was wire.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
She ended up getting tetanus, which was really bad, because then that started with seizures and everything else, and we had to treat the tetanus. And she was on life support, really, Steve, for quite a while. I mean, we had 24-hour care with her on IVs and medicine and trying to just get her to be able to even, you know, eat again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was really sad. And the good news is that she's in a happy home now up in Canada.
So you see the before pictures, and I think I have some of Holly that I might even be able to post, but you see the before pictures and then after, it doesn't even look like the same dog.
I know. And she's a beautiful girl. I mean, just a beautiful girl.
But you have story after story after story like that, and it is absolutely astounding what you do, you know, but you also take in dogs that are, there's no dramatic story. They're just a dog that was given up or found on the street. And there are dogs, and it's the same here in America. I don't want to put a stigma onto Mexico, but there are some differences, and there are some things that are the same. And if you want to talk about that a little bit, I mean, dogs are given up here, any city in America, all the time. So it's not like America's perfect. However, Mexico does have its own set of problems, it seems.
Yes, and oftentimes there'll be little children that want a puppy, and then, of course, when the puppy grows up, it's not cute anymore, and then they become throwaway animals, and that happens a lot. And then we end up having dogs on the street that are just trying to make it on their own, which is very sad. And so they suffer from malnutrition. They end up having a compromised immune system. They're prey to the tick diseases like Ehrlichia and all of those things, and then they become even more weak, and then you can see the dogs that we've brought in that have horrible, horrible cases of mange, but it just hurts you to even look at them because their immune system is so compromised. And all of this is because it's kind of a cavalier attitude about their animals, and they can kind of make it on their own, which we know is not true, right?
So one thing that you're doing is, besides saving individual dogs, I would argue that the sanctuary also is changing attitudes in Puerto Vallarta.
We really strive to do that a lot, all right, by all of the publications that we do in the press. We do tours of the sanctuary, which I know we wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm personally involved. At least twice a year we try to get school children in, because that's the age group that you want to get, and teach them that this is the way that these are animals, but they feel pain, they feel hunger, they feel loss and loneliness, and kind of relate it so that they build some empathy for the animals, so that hopefully it will stop the cavalier attitude, I guess, about the adults. The education starts with the youth.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Although I would say I've been going down to Mexico for a variety of different reasons for maybe 10 years now. I think things have gotten a bit better. I mean, clearly better. And in places like Cancun and Puerto Vallarta and other places where there are so many Americans and Canadians and some Europeans, that has affected the culture, I believe.
Oh, I've been down here for 12 years, and I've seen a dramatic change. And Mexico itself is making very good progress across the board, not just with dogs and cats. I mean, the dolphins and the zoo animals and that kind of thing. I mean, they're being very progressive about their attitudes of how animals should be treated, and that's always a good sign. And the youth, I'm not saying really young, but I mean the younger generation, maybe you're in your 40s, I mean, they're very attuned to what's going on in the world, and they're very sensitive to the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too, and I think that it's easy to draw one line and say this is the way it is, and things are often more complicated. In fact, in León, Mexico, I happen to know that cat carriers are sold all the time now, which means people are keeping their cats indoors. Mm-hmm. So, and cat litter, by the way. In fact, stores run out of cat litter. So it means that people are using the stuff if they're buying the stuff. So that is all a very, very good sign. I'm curious as to what your story is, how you landed, because I know your background. I know your story because I know you, but the background isn't an animal welfare story. And that's kind of the case for several members of the leadership of the SPCA Puerto Vallarta, including the founder of the organization.
Exactly. I think I personally, when I came down here in 2005, I didn't know a lot of people. And for me, I mean, I've always been an animal lover, although I was not involved in that kind of, like you're saying, an animal rescue when I was in California. But it was an opportunity to get involved while I was down here. And I think all of us that are retired, we do like to give back, and volunteering in some way, shape, or form. And the animal aspect appealed to me. And then I got to know Janice Chatterton, who is the founder, and got really behind what her, the empathy that she has and the just overall general concern. I mean, she's just an amazing, amazing woman.
A passion would be the word.
Yeah.
I mean, so briefly tell me Janice's story relating to how SPCA Puerto Vallarta, the animal sanctuary we're talking about, got off the ground.
Well, she had been coming down here for many years, too, and then a long-term resident and started the hotels and that sort of thing. And she's always been an avid dog lover and had a number of dogs of her own that she would bring down with her to Puerto Vallarta for vacation. And then after she moved down here full-time, she saw what was going on in town and all. And at that time, what we call the Ecopio, which is basically the pound, it was a horrible place. It's like 180 degrees now, so I don't want to badmouth that organization. But at the time, they were really not doing anything with kind of saving the dogs off the street and trying to get them rescued. It was more euthanizing to get them off the street. And it was just something that Janice just couldn't deal with. I mean, it just broke her heart. So she started in kind of very slowly in the beginning to started in 07 with a little casita outside of town, and we would rescue maybe half a dozen dogs at a time. And now we're up to the sanctuary, which was built, like I said, 5 years ago, and we can actually house about 130 dogs at one time. And right now we end up having about 78, I think, was the count that I looked at for the animals there.
Do you have any idea how many have been adopted out?
Yes, I did. I looked at some stats. From the beginning, from 07, we didn't have very good record keeping, to be honest with you. But the stats from 2012 to current, as of yesterday, basically, we're well over 1,300 dogs adopted.
Wow.
And add to that,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Then when you add to that the number that we've rescued, because in addition to the adopted, we end up having kind of a hospice situation at the sanctuary also, where we have special needs dogs that may, in fact, never get adopted, but will live out their life with us, and we'll take care of them.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, because that's a concept that animal shelters in America, as far as I know, I'm sure there are some that do this. There are a couple of animal sanctuaries in America that do this, yes. But this is a rare thing, you know, to find the resources, in all honesty, to care for an animal that you know may not be adopted out, has special needs, whatever they are. I recall a dog who's probably still there, but maybe not, Chihuahua-type dog, that for whatever reason didn't have use of its back legs and has one of those wheelchair type things that, yeah, roller things that dogs have.
The dog was
a happy-go-lucky dog who got around a lot, did express opinions, as Chihuahuas tend to do. And again, I don't know if you know which dog I'm talking about, because there have been many that would fall under that description. But the thing is that the sanctuary, and this is so impressive to me, makes a commitment and says, you know what, we're going to take this dog in, we're going to treat this dog, we're going to treat this dog like family, this dog will get loved. And I want to talk about that too, because volunteers, one of their jobs is just to comfort and pet the dogs. They're called cuddlers, I believe. I mean,
yes, they are.
I've never heard of such a thing. It's a job I want to apply for.
I know.
And these dogs get lots of love and attention. They get all the medical care that really would be just about comparable to what they might get in America at the best facilities. And if they're adopted, great, these special need dogs. But if not, they're just going to live out their lives there. Have I described that well?
Yes, you have. I mean, and some of them are from birth defects. Some of them are from abuse. Some of them are from car accidents. Some of them arrived that way, and so we don't really know how they got there, okay? I think Sparky is one of the ones that we've had since 2013, we've had Sparky. That one's the terrier, but he's almost kind of our ambassador. He's the one that runs around in the scooter, too. But then we also have a little chihuahua, too. And then there's Star. Do you remember Star, who is pretty much paralyzed?
Yes.
And all the dogs, you know, all the dogs that really are special needs get acupuncture and massage therapy and physical therapy and hydrotherapy. And they kind of have their own little pack, and they have the run of the sanctuary, most of them. And they get socialized with all of the people that are there working full time at the sanctuary. They have a pretty good life. And if we can get them adopted, fine. If not, we're serious about being a non-kill shelter, and they will be with us.
Yeah, you are serious about it. Now, if I were going to Puerto Vallarta on vacation, I could visit you, couldn't? Well, maybe not your house, but the animal sanctuary. I could visit the animal sanctuary, could I not?
Absolutely. During high season, what we call our high season, which is November to May, we have regular scheduled tours that we take people out to the sanctuary and let them spend as much time as they want taking dogs to walks and playing with them and everything. During the low season, like this time of year, because it's raining and there's not that many people in town, it's kind of by appointment only.
So how does So how does one make an appointment or learn more about, yeah, I'd like to go out there and check out the place?
All they have to do is send an email to us. Can I give you the email address?
Totally.
Okay, it's spcapv@gmail.com. That's our main email address. If you send an email, let us know when you're coming into town. And if you would like to go on a tour, we can make arrangements to pick you up. We pick up everybody at the Costco parking lot,
of
and
course.
We take you to the sanctuary.
So it's okay. SPC. You could have sample lunches at Costco. So it's SP. First, you know, SPCA. Do that again.
PV.
Okay, yeah, thank you. SPCAPV is in Puerto Vallarta. SPCAPV at
gmail.com.
Got it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's and there's no charge for the tours or anything like that.
But no, no, no.
But the big question is, all right, you're describing these amazing things. I've seen them for myself. How do you pay for it?
Donations.
Yeah.
We ask for money a lot, Steve.
Well, welcome to the animal sheltering world. It's
I know,
what,
the
yeah.
animal shelter. Janice Chatterton, who is the founder, as I mentioned, owns hotels and restaurants here in town. And she underwrites two fundraisers a year. And I know you're coming to the one in November, right?
Yep, I always do. Okay. Yep.
Yep. And that's then we have auctions, silent auction, a live auction, and it's all written, all the food and booze and everything is all written off by Janice. So all of the money we collect from that is used to support the organization, as well as we try to get some commitments from people to make a regular donation. And we just beg for money, basically.
Yeah, my wife auctioned me off one year.
Oh, that's a thought for this year.
Well, you know what we did? You know what we did do? We shouldn't be saying this on the air, so to speak. But what we did do is we had, I gave a free behavior consult, but it wasn't free. I mean, there was a bidding. It was a silent auction for it.
Right.
And hopefully I was later told, indeed, I did help the family that I went out to see. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I wanted to talk to you because this organization is noteworthy because I know that organizations in the United States can learn from what is happening in Puerto Vallarta. And your success rate at getting these dogs out is just quite incredible, you know. So no one is euthanized. Dogs that are deemed adoptable, and that definition varies from person to person, right? Some people do want a special needs dog. They've got this heart that's as big as they are, and they are willing to do that. But for others, they just want that cute little terrier, and you've got them. And you have a surprising number of pedigree dogs, purebred dogs that even come in. And they're adopted out all over America and Canada.
Right. And that's one of our challenges is getting transportation for the animals, which is why we've been very successful with Western Canada, Alberta, and British Columbia. We're starting to have some success in the Seattle, Washington area. We need to build a base where we have foster homes where the dogs can kind of hang out until they get officially adopted, have volunteers that might go and do home checks for us when we look at particular potential adoptees. And then because we get tours from that area coming down to Puerto Vallarta, we can take advantage of that and hitch a ride for our dogs to take them up there when they're on their way home.
Well, that's all wonderful. I mean, you guys do amazing work. SPCAPV@gmail.com. Have I got that?
We also have and we have a website, too. If they want to go onto the website, there's lots of pictures of the sanctuary that you can see that it's a state-of-the-art. We have fans and music piped in. And
yeah.
We have an indoor area, an outdoor area. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, as I say, it's amazing what you do, but you can't do it alone, and you can't do it without resources. And I'm talking about financial resources as well as volunteers. So one thing you accept, and not only do you give the tours to people, but if folks are willing to give up a half a day of their vacation, they can, depending on the time of year and the week you're down there, likely volunteer, can't they?
Right. And we can go in and because dogs need socialization. I mean, that's the biggest thing once we've rescued them, because especially if they've come from a situation of abuse. So we need to get them to trust people. And the more people they get to meet and socialize with, the better off it's going to be. And the faster their recovery period is, and we can get them adopted. So So we do encourage everybody to come, and you can take, you can sit in the kennels with them. You can take them with a great big play area that you can go out and throw frisbees and balls with, or you can get them on a leash and take them for long walks. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do with the dogs and just have fun, as well as the snugglers, like you were talking about, our little official cuddlers.
Yes.
That actually sit in the kennels with them, and the ones that either ill, okay, or they're going through, they just had their surgery, or they're going through their medications, or they're just puppies. And we have people that just sit in there and just give them lots of love until they're ready to mingle with the general population.
Yeah, that's a wonderful job to have, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, Janice, you are wonderful. Thank you so much. It's the SPCA Puerto Vallarta on Facebook, too. And you'll see a link right here as well where the podcast is described. Thank you. I am sure we will talk soon.
Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it.